turn in your Bibles to just a very simple text that you've heard many times, but we'll just start off and we'll come back to it at the end of our message today, too. It's Proverbs chapter 3, and it's verses 5 and 6. You all know this. I'll try to look at it a little bit later on, too, here by also another translation. The New Living Translation is a very good translation of the Bible as well. But our ESV here does competence with it. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledging Him, and He will make straight your paths." And we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. One of the most challenging things that Christians have to face in their life is a difficult question that asks, how can I know what the will of God is for my life? And you know, when you look at the Bible, you find out that the will of God is talked about in at least three ways. Number one, it talks about God's sovereign will. That is His overriding plan for all of the universe. And the Bible talks about that. We know that that plan included His great plan of salvation, and even for those who come to Him as a result of His plan. There's also the moral will of God that is given in various commands throughout Scripture. We have it in the Old Covenant, in the Ten Commandments, and the covenant that God gave to Israel. Now we have also now a brand new covenant, not like the Old Covenant, but better even than before. And that also contains the commandments of God. Many of them the same, but some of them also different. But nonetheless, it's a picture of God's moral law for our life, and that's a good thing to know. There is, however, talked about in Scripture, another kind of will of God, and that's the individual will of God. What does God individually want you or me to be doing? And, of course, in the famous passage, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, we know that. By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, because we are His workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus, it says, so that we can walk according to the way that He has planned for us to do. And, you know, that's a picture of God's individual will. Not everybody has the same will of God for their individual lives. That one person might have one plan and another one God is working in a different way. We make a big mistake as Christians if we try to be someone that we're not. If we try to be make ourselves into a different person than what God has actually intended for us. Today I want to look at the last one, because this is the tough one. The moral commands are spelled out in the Bible. God's plan of sovereign will also about salvation is clearly spelled out in the Scriptures. But you notice that the individual will of God is something that becomes difficult for us to know. And I want to submit to you today that there are three ways that we can go about looking at the individual will of God for your life or for mine. The first one is maybe familiar with some of you. You maybe have even heard it in a sermon before. But it's something that I call the traditional view of the will of God for our lives. And the story goes like this. There was once a famous harbor in the world that where sailors anchored their boats. And this harbor was a very treacherous place, because when people brought their boats in, there were lots of stones that were hidden beneath the water right at the entrance of the harbor. And if you didn't come in correctly, they would have problems. The boats would crash into these stones and perhaps even be destroyed or damaged. And so it was important to know exactly the right way to go. Well, the community there finally decided that the way to do this is to place certain lights up on the cliff that was over beyond the harbor itself. And there were certain lights there that whenever they would line up completely, the individual that was steering the ship could begin to follow that line of the lights and it would take them right into the harbor without crashing on the stones, without having any conflict or anything like that. Now you say, in our life as believers, does the Bible tell us about certain lights that are in our life that are giving to us the will of God for our life? Well, yes, it does. The Bible says that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So the first thing is, one of those lights would clearly have to be the word of God itself. If you want to know what God is thinking and planning for your life, you need to study the scriptures. I'm not saying that every page that you turn to, you'll find an automatic spot there with your name written on it specifically and all of that. But, you know, the Bible shows us principles and commandments and many examples to show us what God wants us to do in our life. So the word of God is number one. Number two is the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Everyone who is a Christian has the Holy Spirit of God living in them. If you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, you are not a Christian. I'm not trying to be condemning anyone here. I'm simply saying that the person that has the Spirit has Christ, and the one who does not have the Spirit in his heart does not follow the way of Christ. The Bible says that we are led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God ministers with our spirit so that we can have direction from God, and we can know for certain, too, about our own salvation. God's Spirit witnesses to our human spirit. Notice who starts the ball rolling, though. It's always God. God is always the prime mover in all of this. There's a third one, and the Bible talks about this, too. It's the mature counsel that is given by Christian people that are wise and who have had experience. Yes, there's something to be said for older folks too, no question about it. The Bible talks about those who are even identified as elders in the church. One of the things that the word elder means is someone too that is not only led of God or commissioned by God to fulfill a certain office, but it also means someone who, because of age and experience, has gained insight into what God wants you to do. So by the commands of the scriptures, we have the counsel that God is wanting for our life. So this also can come and line up with this. Now a fourth one is actually very familiar. It's the word prayer. The Bible says, of course, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that we are to pray without ceasing. Why? Can't God direct our minds whether we are hearing from him or not? No. God has chosen to show us the way that we should go by bringing to our instruction, to our will, to our mind, to our conscience, to our heart, to show us what he wants us to do in answer to prayers. Now, sometimes they come quickly. Sometimes the answer comes slowly. Sometimes they don't even seem to come at all. But yet, we know that God answers prayer. There's an old song that says something about that. It says, God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the daytime. So keep your heart in tune. There's a fifth one, and that is the just plain circumstances of life. Remember, God is sovereign. He brings things to happen in our life that are surprisingly wonderful sometimes. I can think of times when, we narrowly missed having an auto accident or something like that, and it's amazing how God just seemed how to work everything out so that in that precise moment, what could have been a tragedy turned out to be his blessing. But it's the circumstances of life which are under his control. All things, the Bible says, work together for good for them that are loved by God and so forth. Well, there's one other thing, and that is the simple fact of common sense. God has given to us what? Our reason, our mind, our instruction. We are transformed by the renewing, the Bible says, of our mind. We need to sharpen our mind. One of the reasons why I believe we ought to keep reading at whatever age we are is because it helps to keep our mind sharp. The more you read, the more you learn. The more you're instructed, the more things you learn about. And when you put all of these together, when they line up, when the Word of God agrees with the leading of the Spirit of God, when it agrees with the instruction you're receiving from the people of God, when you sense that God is answering your prayers in that way, when circumstances seem to be coming together as well, and when it just makes good, reasonable sense, because being led by the Spirit of God, you are also following the will of God for your life. When you put all these things together, they're just like those six lights that are sitting up there on the hilltop. And when the boat is lined up with those six lights, you can confidently move forward and have God's leading and guidance. One of the great commentators that made a couple of comments about this here was the British theologian, now no longer living, but very fine instructor by the name of John R.W. Stott. And Mr. Stott from England says this. He writes a book called Your Mind Matters. He says, although God promises to guide us, we must not expect him to do so in the way that we guide horses and mules. Well, he will not use a bit or a bridle with us. God doesn't force people on us to do certain things, although sometimes God makes it very clear as to what the choice should be. But nonetheless, God is not a forceful God. He is a gracious God. We have understanding which horses and mules do not have. It is then through the use of our own understanding, enlightened by Scripture and prayer and the counsel of friends, that God will lead us into the knowledge of His particular will for our lives. I think that's agreeing pretty much with the same basic things that are talked about here in the traditional way, with the six different lights that are in the harbor there. Now, as time has gone on, somebody had to come along and write something different too. This is not contradictory to anything that I've already said, but it's something that I call here the alternative view. There was a gentleman by the name of Gary Friesen who wrote a book a number of years ago called Decision Making and the Will of God. It was published by Multnomah Press, and it became a very popular book too. In that book, he talks about four things that can show you what the will of God is for your life. And the first one is quite simple. Revealed areas are specifically addressed by the Bible, the revealed commands and principles of God. So whatever God says, do it. Don't argue with it. Don't try to change it. Don't twist it. Take it for what it says and for whom it is said to be specifically addressed. You know, not everything that is spoken as a promise in the Bible is for every last person. You know, we sing this old song sometimes, you know, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I want to tell you something. That's a nice, cute little song, but it's not true that every promise in the book is yours. God promised to Abraham certain things that he never promised to you. And there are certain things in the Bible that are promised to you that maybe were not promised to Old Testament saints. You have to read in context what the will of God is. It's always sensible to read in context. You don't want to just snatch a scripture out and make it say something that was never intended. But, okay, first of all, the revealed areas is one way. But along with this, too, there is no command actually given in the Bible that believers are free to do what they wish with God's moral law. Anything that is written by God as a moral law, we can do. The things that are not specifically spelled out as moral laws, that's where areas become open and more questioning in our mind. Here's the third thing. He says, all decisions the believer should humbly submit to God in advance for him to be outworking of his sovereign will. And I think a good example of that is what happened in the Old Testament there with the story of Joshua. You remember one day when Joshua was approached by the Gibeonites, what they told him. They said, we come from a far off country, and we're following the same God that you do, and we think that we want to come and join you, and will you take us in? Well, it all sounded good. They were wearing old clothes. They were people that appeared to be traveling from a great distance away. And of course, without really praying, Joshua and the people that were the leaders in Israel did not find the will of God there. The circumstances were right, but remember, when we talk about the traditional way, we said that some of these things are going to be lining up. They're not all just one thing. It's going to be lining up together. And in the case of Joshua here, what they said, though it looked right, the circumstances looked right, but what didn't they do? They didn't pray. They didn't ask. Ask and it what? Shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. But you see, Joshua and the people did not do that. And of course, they made a mistake here. That's why even the things that we do here at Faith Chapel, this is one thing that I can tell you that your board here is very concerned about. They don't just want to do anything unless we have clear understanding that is the will of God. And that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to please anybody, first of all. We're trying to please the Lord only, and He alone is our master. Who's the head of the church? It's not us. I'm not the head of it as a pastor here. It's not my wife who's the, you know, in the board here and all of that. It's God Himself who is the head of the church. And so we want to hear what He has to say. We need to submit it to Him. And then finally, number four, non-moral decisions the believer should make wise decisions on, based on spiritual expediency. Some things are just okay to do, but there are some things that are even better to do. We need to be distinguishing between what is better and what is best. As Christians, we should always seek the best will of God for our life. Give of your best, the song says, to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. And you know, that's very important. We should try to discover what God is saying here. So you put those four things together as the alternative view. First of all, what does the commands and principles of the Word say that are revealed to us? Number two, ones that are not there and revealed to us, we can think about possibly following without stepping outside of God's will. But remember, number three here, we also want to be in prayer, too. We don't want to just say, well, I don't see any command here. I can do whatever I want. Now, one thing we need to do is indeed pray. We need to ask God what He would have us to do. Jesus did this all the time. If you want to see how much, you just read the Gospel of Luke sometime, and you'll notice numerous times that Jesus actually was found in a quiet place all alone on His own, praying that God would give Him direction. Even before He chose His apostles, I mean, Jesus knows all things, right? He's an all-knowing God. And yet before He chose the apostles to come and to be followers of His, He specifically prayed to God about them for an entire night to know what His will really was. Now the fourth thing here is that if they are decisions that are not necessarily moral, you know, you can use what would be basically a good choice here. Just if it's a non-moral decision, you can make wise decisions that are in keeping with expediency here, especially spiritual expediency. Well, those are two ways, the traditional way, the alternative way. And if you want to see them sometime, notes of these outlines here are available anytime you want them. But there is one more, and I still think that this is one of the handiest ways too, and it's the simplest way. And it's the one here that I call the proverbial way. It's the one from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. What does it say here in the New Living Translation? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Now that's a pretty straightforward promise, isn't it? That doesn't sound very confusing. It says, if you want to know God's will, don't be independent about it. Don't rely at all just to human decisions. Human insights are not the final answer here. It's a matter of the heart, and a heart that is truly surrendered to the will of God. Notice these words here. It says in the scripture, with all your heart, or wholeheartedly. That means coming to God completely and letting Him alone make that decision. We don't want our decision. We want his decision. Number two, the heart. You know, it says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Why the heart? Well, because the Bible tells us again and again that the heart has to do with a wide variety of things. Our emotions. It also has to do with our intellect and with our discernment. And so we should be led by the heart. Very important thing. One of the little mottos or little markings that are used by one college that you know about has a picture of a hand holding a heart. And it says, "My heart I give you promptly and sincerely." That's very true, isn't it? Because that's what Christian living is really all about. There's another thing we can do. It says, lean not on your own understanding. Human insights are never enough. Okay? We need to not lean on our own understanding or depend upon it, but we need to trust God for his understanding. We are to do this in all our ways. We are to acknowledge him. You know, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Let every moment, every day, let it flow with endless praise. It's all his. You see, it all belongs to him. And finally, it promises here that he will direct your paths. In other words, God will give guidance. He'll remove obstacles. He'll help to fulfill goals. Proverbs teaches that those who follow God's ways and God's wisdom have easier days and they have less problematic lifestyles as well because they do that. I'd like to close our message today by just mentioning a quotation here that was given by a man named Anthony Fortosis. This is what he says. The Lord's guidance is not neatly packaged formula that is to be rigidly followed, but neither does it expect us to just go on hunches and feelings. The answer lies in cohesion between the traditional method and the alternative method, and also, I think here, can also use the proverbial method here, which is helpful and simple as well. But working with each, we can find the biblical balance. But above all, we seek God's will to be done, and even an honest error, even if you make a mistake in trying to discover what the will of God is for your life, remember one thing, that God is even able to take your sins and your mistakes and your false steps and all that. He can work all things together for good. He can work them out so that you will have God's instruction and he will help you through, he'll guide you in the pathway. So, it's sometimes a great difficulty for people to know exactly what God wants, but nonetheless, I think the Bible does give us some instructions about it. Now, we may have sent all of these out this morning so quickly that you can't hardly remember them, but if you want a copy of this, like I said, they're here. All three of these methods are all written down in the appropriate scriptures as well. I read from Proverbs 3 today because I just think that's a very clear instruction here. It's very good. It says, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Does that sound like something you want? You want to find good success in the favor of God and man? Well, then trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Let's pray to God now. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the fact that you are a God who loves us and wants to show us the way in which we should go. We are thankful, too, that you are a God of revelation, not of confusion, but a God who provides instruction for us to see and to know and to follow step by step as you would have us go. Now, Lord, be with us all throughout this day. The choices that we make, the things that we do, that we carry out, Lord, we pray that you'll keep us safe, that you will protect us and keep us from any harm or danger during these winter days, too. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us in every way, and we thank you for bringing us all here today to be able to get once again into the will of God and in the Word of God as to what living for Jesus is really all about. Now hear us, we pray, and we ask this not because we're worthy, but because you are our God of love and direction. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.